Happy New Year. Happy wish you a very, very happy wish you. Today in Tamil Nadu, Kerala, we have New Year Swamiji. Chaitra. The sun becomes the most powerful. Today onward for 1 month, he'll be in a more powerful place. This is a very auspicious time for Upanayanams and all those things, a lot of things. Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Om Sadashiva Samarambham Vyasa Shankara Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashakritau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Om Ishvaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Bhadrankarne Bhishrunuyamadevaha Bhadram Pashyem Akshabharyajatraha Sthirairangai istushtuvagam sastanubhihi Vyashema devahitayadayuhu Swastina indro vruddhashravaha Swastina pusha vishravedaha Swastina starkshyo arishtanimihi Swastino brihaspatir dadhatu Om Shanti 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 Prajnanam Shupratanai Sthira Charanikara Vyapi Bhar Vyapya Lokan Pratanai Sthira Charanikara Vyapi Bhar Vyapya Lokan Bhuktva Bhogan Sthavishtan Bhuktva Bhogan Sthavishtan Punarapi Dhishanod Bhasitan Kamajanyan Punarapi dhishanod bhasitan kamajanyan Pitva sarvan visheshan Visheshan Swapiti madhurabhung Swapiti madhurabhung Mayaya bhojayannaha Mayaya bhojayannaha Maya sankhyaturiyam Maya sankhyaturiyam Paramamrutamajam Paramamrutamajam Brahmayattannatosmi Brahmayattannatosmi yo vishvatma vidhija vishayan prashya bhogan sthavishtan prashya bhogan sthavishtan paschachanyan swamati vibhavan jyotishasvena sukshman jyotishasvena sukshman sarvanetan punarapishanai punarapishanai swatmanisthapayitva hitva sarvan visheshan vigata guna ganaf patvaso nasturiyah gunaganaf patvaso nasturiyah vigata gunaganah te gunaganah asauturiyah nah patu before I begin the class let me tell you one thing. In Kerala, in Tamil Nadu, on New Year's Day, Swamiji, we have something called Bhagavad Darshanam. The previous night itself will set altar. You know what altar? Nice big mirror. I put a mala garland for the mirror. In front of the mala, lots of fruits and flowers and then money. Everything we keep, okay? And next day morning, get up and have a shower. And don't say anything else. Come straight to see there like this. First see like this, in the mirror. The mirror has a garland. You will see your own reflection with the mala. This seeing oneself is Bhagavad Darshan. Seeing oneself being nonsense, seeing one's own real nature is Bhagavad Darshan. It's symbolic. It look that you have garland. After seeing that, I am the whole, everything that is serious, I am the whole. So all this is for my enjoyment. There's none second other than me. It's Bhagavad Darshanam. Okay, let's come to a class today. Okay. The Isha Vasupra, even though this teaching is very simple, but the words are so beautiful. There's so many too universal. But I won't take my own time to do it. Okay. Sambhoterapavadacha sambhavah pratishidhyate sambhavah pratishidhyate. This is the first sentence. Okay. To this first sentence, what does he say? Let us see here. First, already we have read a little bit and then I had stopped as I taught myself. Sambhavaha pratishidhyate means what? Creation is negated. There is no creation. How it is negated? Sambhutehe apavadat. Sambhutihi is another name of Hiranyagarbha, as they said. Through the negation of sambhutihi, the creation itself is negated. Means negation of the creator, isn't it? In fact, negation of the creation. There is no creator. I mean, there's no creation. It's the literal meaning. But here, creation, sambhuti is not directly negated there. there what is negated, what is condemned there, not negated, condemned. Meditation upon Hiranyagarbha is condemned. Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is condemned. Otherwise it will be Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, meditation or worship of Hiranyagarbha is condemned. How is it condemned? Why is it condemned? Condemned means mere practice of Upasanam is condemned. But through condemn, what is conveyed there? That it should not be practiced separately. It must be combined with the performance of rituals. So synthesis of performance of ritual, synthesis of karma with Upasanam is recommended, encouraged. So condemnation is for encouraging, supporting, emphasizing the synthesis, samuchayaha. Karma must be, the upasanam must be combined with the karma. Worship must be combined with action, means the practice of meditation must be combined with performance of rituals. Then together becomes what now? It becomes more effective. It contributes for, why it should be emphasized there? Because it contributes for the mental refinement. Not only that, it also enables a person enjoy better pleasures in this life and also pleasures hereafter in the heaven. The possibility of going to Brahmaloka, attainment of pleasures and even attainment of Karma Mukti, even having the status of being one with Hiranyagarbha, all this is possible, isn't it? Therefore, it is recommended. This is how this is discussed in the Ishavasya Upanishad. This is what exactly said. Okay. Now, let me make it very clear. In the Ishavasya Upanishad, I'm going to give you first of all overall picture, okay, because completely different words are used in the Bhashya. See, karma, let me tell you, if you can make a note of it, write it also, no problem, because it's very important for you to know, because completely different words are used. The word vinashaha is used to mean karma. You can make a note, okay? Karma is known as vinashaha in Ishavasya Upanishad. Why it is known as vinashaha? I have to make it very clear, only then I'll read the Bhashyam, okay? Because it vinashaha means destruction. Karma is said to be vinashaha because it destroys. Karma destroys what? Karma destroys mrityuhu, death. You can write this exactly. And what is death? Mrityuhu means death. Here death means, please understand, again mrityuhu means defects in the form of natural negative tendencies, natural negative tendencies. Very important, okay? Mrityuhu in that Ishavasya Upanishad means defects in the form of natural negative tendencies caused by ignorance. Therefore, this karma is capable of destroying all defects in the form of negative tendencies. Meant by the word mrityuhu. Therefore, karma is known as vinashaha. Is it clear? It's one sentence. Next. Understand. Just as karma serves as a means of eliminating negative tendencies, so also upasanam, worship or meditation. What is the word used by Shankaracharya here? Devata darshanam is meditation, worship. Devata darshanam, upasanam also, combined with karma, upasanam synthesized with karma, contributes for mental refinement of a person. Combined, okay, in the same way, upasanam combined with the karma contribute for mental refinement. Okay, now we say this is synthesis of karma and upasanam helps in overcoming the impurity, the death. So the word death means impurity. So karma removes the impurity in the form of negative tendencies, and upasanam combined with the karma removes the impurity in the form of craving, passion, craving, longing for twofold craving in terms of means and ends. So karma also removes impurities. Upasam also removes impurities. So karma removes the impurities in the form of negative tendencies. Upasanam combined with the karma removes impurity in the form of attachment, passion, longing, craving for twofold longing for means and ends. Means and ends, the rituals and their results. Okay. Now, when a person becomes refined, he is free from impurities. Impurity for in him of craving for these twofold means and ends. Is it clear? This is one thing. Now we say the impurity is also in the form of ignorance, avidya. The first, this upasanam combined with the karma enables a person to transcend, to overcome impurity in the form of spiritual ignorance. Avidya means what here? First, spiritual ignorance. What is spiritual ignorance? Ignorance of self-ignorance is spiritual ignorance. Ignorance of self-ignorance. Ignorance of ignorance. Ignorance of ignorance is spiritual ignorance. So ignorance of ignorance is in the form of lack of discriminative understanding, like discriminative knowledge of what is permanent, what is impermanent, what is eternal, what is ephemeral. So this lack of discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent, is here the ignorance, spiritual ignorance, isn't it? So this upasanam combined with the karma helps one transcend this impurity in the form of avivekaha, the lack of discriminative understanding What is ephemeral? What is eternal? I mean, it helps one discover, have viveka. So what's the final answer now, final thing? Practice of upasanam combined with the karma in due course of time contributes for a person having vivekaha, discriminative knowledge of what is permanent, what is impermanent, that everything in this universe is impermanent. Impermanent things cannot be a means of attainment of permanent happiness. The viveka a person will have. It takes great deal of understanding. Once a person has viveka, free from the spiritual ignorance in the form of lack of discriminative knowledge, the person naturally grows out of desire for all, everything in this world, time-bound in nature. He discovers dispassion, vairagyam, isn't it? He becomes dispassionate. So, this discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent, that everything in this world is impermanent, therefore impermanent things cannot be a source of happiness, cannot be a means of attainment of permanent happiness. Therefore, there must be some permanent which alone can be a source of permanent happiness, which alone can give permanent happiness. This understanding has to happen, my God. For this understanding, karma upasanam, synthesis of karma and upasanam contributes for this understanding, first of all. And if this understanding comes, it doesn't take very long for one to become viraktaha, a person of dispassion. Dispassion does not mean hate. Dispassion is a clean expression of mature. So refinement results in what? Refinement results in, also refinement results in dispassion. Viveka itself is a refinement, expression of refinement, isn't it? Then the vairagyam also comes. So this dispassion towards everything else, dispassion towards all means and ends, then that results in what? Passion for knowledge. Dispassion towards everything time bound is actually is in the form of passion for timeless, passion for the knowledge. If there's no passion for knowledge, there's no passion for anything else, means it is not dispassion. It is laziness, isn't it? Indolence. Oh, that's nothing. So dispassion towards everything else implies passion for knowledge. Atma jnanaya icha, isn't it? Passion. It is then. So what does upasanam do? Devata darshanam, Hiranyagarbha upasanam, combined with the performance of rituals in due course of time contributes for the attainment of mental refinement in terms of discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent. Vivekaha. This discriminative understanding also enables a person discover vairagyam, dispassion. When a person becomes dispassionate, what is the benefit of being dispassionate? The dispassion cannot be pushed on, okay, you can't go and buy in the shop, isn't it? Dispassion has to be born of maturity, understanding of the facts that nothing in the world can give me what I'm really searching for, isn't it? That's the vairagyam. So the dispassion is in the form of passion for knowledge. because it is knowledge which alone can give me happiness. Knowledge of the absolute, knowledge of the permanent, knowledge of the reality alone. Permanent reality must be the source of permanent happiness. It is knowledge of the reality alone can be a source of, can give me what I'm searching for in life. This passion for knowledge. This is when a person becomes what now? Shankaracharya used a beautiful word here. He becomes committed to the pursuit of the knowledge in the form of, he becomes given to the study of the Shastram. That way he becomes committed to the inquiry into the meanings of the teaching of the Shastram. This commitment to the study of the Shastram, in terms of commitment to the inquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram, in due course of time, results in what? The attainment of the vision of the oneness of the reality. Understand now? So without going through disciplines of karma and upasanam, it is not possible at all for an ordinary person to become adequately refined, to become free from negative tendencies. It's not possible for a person to have viveka, this kind of understanding of that permanent alone can give me permanent happiness. And without going through disciplines, it is not possible for one to become, discover this passion. Vairagyam is a beautiful thing. It will not happen unless a person has viveka. Only when a person has vairagyam, this passion, he can become distraction-free minded. Understand now? The attention will not go to anything. Why attention becomes distracted? What causes distraction? Distractions are because of craving for so many things in the world. Distractions, mind can be distracted. Attention gets distracted towards so many things only when there is no detachment. Only when there is no dispassion. Only when there is craving. Craving, passion, desire for many things are there, then naturally distraction is possible. When the person is so clear now, karma upasanam, as well karma yoga and upasanam enables a person have viveka vairagyam, that is how the person becomes viraktaha. Samskritaha purushaha eva viraktaha bhavati. We are going to see the beautiful word Shankaracharya uses here. He becomes dispassionate. When he becomes dispassionate alone, he becomes distraction free minded. So why it's important for one to discover dispassion? Unless and until a person discovers dispassion, it's impossible for a person to be distraction free minded. When a person becomes distraction-free minded, no distraction. In Bhagavad Gita's beautifully it is said, isn't it? No, even we are going to see that all these things go to him. No, rasaha api rasavarjam nivartate. You know, everything sees, no? Everything goes. I mean, sense organs can report to this person. Objects. If there's no dispassion, mind will go after sense. Whatever sense organs can drag the mind easily. That's why indriyani pramathini drida balam. Okay? Pramathini indriyani prasabham haranti manaha. Forcefully they drag the mind towards the objects. Because there's no vairagyam. Because there's no viveka. But if vairagyam is, viveka is there, vairagyam is there, then what? They can report, the mind doesn't go. Isn't it? Kurmahang indriyani, angani eva. Just as this turtle limb pulls all its limbs inside its shell, when it senses some danger, in the same way, this intelligent person, you know, he withdraws all his sense organs. Withdrawing sense organs means what? Whatever the sense organs report, he is not interested. In Gita, it is said beautifully, you know, the person who is sick, physically very sick, his sense organs also withdrawn from sense objects. Why? He is not capable of doing anything. That doesn't mean the craving for objects is not there. A sick person whose sense organs are, because of incapability, are withdrawn from sense objects, but still craving is there in the mind. Whereas the viraktaha is the one no craving for anything. He is free from craving for anything. Therefore, samskritaha, samskritaha purushaha eva viraktaha bhavati. He, refined minded alone, can become viraktaha, a dispassionate person. That's why dispassion is something very beautiful, isn't it? Dispassion doesn't come overnight. The dispassionate person is a real dispassionate person, is the one in whose mind knowing the Atma is the only aim. That's the only priority. So, we are going to see the Bhashyam soon. I'm telling you before this, all this, because how it is beautifully said. When a distraction free, a person becomes distraction free minded, then the whole attention of the mind is available for only listening to the teaching, dwelling upon the teaching. During Shravanam, your attention is with what? With the nature of your reality. When you are listening to the teaching, your attention is with what? With your own nature. Right, nature of your reality. In Shastram class, you are repeatedly helped just to see what you are essentially. Therefore, you are with your own Swarupam. During Mananam, of course, seeing your nature of your own nature, in light of the teaching, you're also resolving your doubts about the self. Of course, in Nididhyasana, what are you doing? In contemplation, of course. Okay? You place your attention repeatedly in your own real nature, which you have understood, ascertained through Shravanam and Mananam. During Shravanam, your attention is placed in your own nature. During Mananam, attention is placed in your nature, in your own Swarupam. During Nididhyasanam, of course, your attention is placed only in your nature. So, being able to place the attention of the mind in one's own Swarupam is possible. The contemplative disposition is possible only if a person is distraction-free minded. One can be free from distractions only if there is vairagyam. Is it clear? And Shankaracharya says towards the end, if such a person, okay, who is free, who is refined, who is dispassionate, who is free from distractions, thereby who is able to focus, and who is contemplative, who is given to the discipline of enquiry into the nature of the self as unfolded in the Shastram, that person becomes a person of ascertained vision of the oneness of reality. And the ascertainment of the vision of oneness of reality itself is moksha, freedom. Therefore, what he wants to say here, the aim of the Shastram, the ultimate aim of the Shastram, Veda Shastram, the Tatparim of the Shastram is enabling a person attain this vision of oneness of the reality. In the wake of which one can see one's own self being the whole as only secondless, non-dual reality. This is where freedom is. This is how a person in the wake of the vision of one's own essential nature, in having the ascertained vision of the essential nature of oneself, a person naturally takes ownership of fullness of happiness as one's own nature. He assumes, he remains in his nature. He doesn't attain happiness. He takes ownership of happiness which is already there as one's own nature. Therefore, what he wants to say finally, why then Upasanam is condemned? This is the teaching. Why Upasanam is condemned? He says, Upasanam is condemned when it is compared to Jnanam. See, this Upasana, Karma Upasana Samuchayaha. Okay, the synthesis of Karma and Upasanam together is meant by the word avidya, ignorance. Why? Because only when, as long as a person is ignorant of the self, as long as a person has doership and enjoyership, he can involve himself in practicing these disciplines. He can perform rituals, he can practice even meditation, he can worship. And this upasanam combined with the karma is something to be practiced first. Isn't it? First, it has first place. It can only give what? Mental refinement. It can help us discover dispassion. It can only contribute for the mental preparedness required for the jnanam. So this itself will not give jnanam. This itself will not liberate a person. Therefore, it is inferior when compared to jnanam. Mistaking the meditation karma itself as ultimate aim, goal of the Shastram is condemned. It's not the ultimate aim of the Shastram, even though it is very highly recommended. It is choicelessly recommended. It has to be followed. That itself is not the end of the Shastram. Even though this karma and upasanam contribute for mental refinement of a person, still, this itself is not the end of the Shastram. It's not the ultimate aim of the Shastram. This is not the ultimate teaching of the Shastram. So this teaching comes first. Then, the next discipline of Jnana Yoga, the discipline of Jnana Yoga, Karma Upasanam, two disciplines. Then comes what? Jnana Yoga. So Karma Yoga, Upasanam also, take it as a discipline. Upasana Yoga can be combined. The combination of Karma and Upasanam is possible simultaneously. The simultaneous combination of Karma and Upasanam is said to be Sama Samuchayaha. Whereas these two disciplines must be followed later on by a person. Followed by the discipline of Jnana Yoga. The pursuit of knowledge. Being given to, pursuit of knowledge in the form of being given to Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, Jnana Yoga. This being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. This discipline of Jnana Yoga which comes later on. Which comes later on when compared to other two disciplines. Results in what? The attainment of Jnanam. That knowledge alone liberates a person. Therefore he says, when we compare from the standpoint of Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality, which alone liberates a person, compare from the standpoint of this Brahma Vidya, which alone can liberate a person, if we compare the preceding disciplines, they are inferior. Then the Upasanam Karma Samuchaya is condemned because it is not a direct means of attainment of moksha. Inferior, it is condemned, okay, because it's not direct means of attainment of moksha. It is an indirect means of attainment of moksha. So he says, it is not just the karma upasana alone. This karma upasana samuchayaha and jnanam, jnana yogaha, isn't jnana yogaha, they also have combination. They must be combined. Karma and upasana samuchaya must be combined with jnanam sequentially. So there is definitely a sequential combination of karma upasanam with jnanam, isn't it? In a person, for the attainment of the ultimate goal, moksha, in the form of jnanam. The sequential combination of karma plus upasanam, isn't it? Then plus jnanam, jnana yoga is said to be krama samuchayaha. Krama samuchayaha. So simultaneous combination is said to be sama samuchayaha. Sequential combination is said to be krama samuchayaha. So samasamuchayaha, krama samuchayaha. Karma and upasanam must be combined, can be combined simultaneously. For mental refinement, the mental refinement implies having discriminative understanding and dispassion. Isn't it? So dispassion implies also being free from distractions. That is how a person is said to be eligible for the contemplation. Isn't it? Otherwise, it's not possible to focus. Okay. So there's also samasamuchayaha, like kramasamuchayaha. These two disciplines themselves cannot remove ignorance, cannot bless a person with moksha. Therefore, they're condemned when their practice only taken to be ultimate. But when they're combined with the pursuit of jnanam, if a person goes to different jnana yoga also later on, which definitely results in attainment of jnanam, then the ultimate goal becomes accomplished. Therefore, it is not just only samasamuchaya, there is also krama samuchaya. See, they both are combined in one and the same individual for accomplishing the ultimate goal. This is what he says. Why it is condemned. This much is the teaching. Now just read the Bhashyam. Have you read the Bhashyam? Yeah. So I have given you the essence of the Bhashyam. Okay? Let me tell you here. Satyameva devata darshanasya sambhuti vishayasya vinasha sabdavachasya karmanaha samuchay vidhanartha sambhuti pavadaha. I'm quickly reading it for sake of those who want to read in Sanskrit. So, the negation of the condemnation of the condemnation of the upasanam, the negation of sambhuti hiranyagarbha is meant for emphasizing the synthesis of upasanam with karma. Sentence number one. Okay, finished. Next sentence. Tathapi vinashakhyasya karmanaha swabhavika ajnana pravritti rupasya mrityoho atita atitaranarthatvavat. So, just as the karma, which is known as vinasha, serves as the means of getting rid of impurity in the form of negative tendencies, so also tadvat, like that, devata darshana karma samuchayasya purusha samskarartha asti. So the upasanam combined with the karma, also together, the synthesis of karma and upasanam serves as a means of getting rid of the impurity. Thereby, it helps a person have mental refinement. Purusha samskarartha. Samuchayaha is karma upasana samuchayaha is for the mental refinement of a person. So, what is mental refinement? He explains here. Karma phala raga pravritti rupasya sadhya sadhana eshanadvay lakshanasya mrityoho atitaranarthatvam. Means, the synthesis of karma and upasanam has the status of being helpful in overcoming the death, mrityu, in the form of what? In the form of the craving for twofold means and ends. Is it? You can simply say, mrityu has been attachment. Attachment for time-bound results. Evam, hi eshanadvaya rupat mrityoho ashuddehe vyuktaha purushaha samskritaha syat. This is some nice sentence. You must know this. So you understand everything very clearly. Now, evam hi eshanadvaya rupat mrityoho ashuddehe vyuktaha purushaha samskritaha. Samskritaha means refined person. A person of refined personality. Who is a person of refined personality here? Who becomes samskritaha bhavati? Who becomes a refined person? Vyuktaha purushaha. The person who is free from, who is purged of. Panuliji has given a beautiful translation there. Free from impurity. The refined person is the one who is free from impurity. Ashuddhehe vyuktaha. Ashuddhehe vyuktaha samskritaha. What is ashuddha? Ashuddha, impurity in the form of twofold craving in terms of means and ends. So refinement implies being free from craving for time-bound ends. Eshanadvaya rupat mrityoho viyuktaha purushaha samskritaha syat. Ataha. Therefore, what happens? Mrityoho atitaranartha devata darshana karma samuchya lakshanahi avidya. In this context, he says, he uses the term avidya. Okay? Avidya literally means ignorance. But he says, upasanam and karma, both these disciplines, okay, the discipline of karma yoga, the discipline known as meditation or worship, these two together can be said to be what? Ignorance. These two disciplines have the status of being helpful in overcoming impurity in terms of attachment. Okay, finished. Last sentence. Yevameva. The last sentence, I'm doing something, last sentence. Evameva yeshana lakshana vidyayaha mrityoho atitirnasya viraktasya. Now, who is viraktaha? Kaha? English 433. I'm reading the last page in Sanskritam. Yeshana lakshana vidyayaha mrityoho atitirnasya viraktasya. See, viraktaha is the one, the dispassionate person, the one who is atitirnaha. Atitirnaha is viraktaha. Dispassionate person is the one who has transcended. Atitirna was transcended. Transcended what? The death in the form of impurities. See, Atitirnaha is the person who has transcended. Who has transcended means what? Who is free from impurities in the form of negative tendencies and impurity in the form of craving, longing, attachment, passion. Such a person is viraktaha. Now, beautiful definition of viraktaha. Kaha viraktaha? Who is a dispassionate person? Viraktaha atitirnaha. One who has transcended all impurities. How? By going through these two disciplines. By going through, so strictly following the discipline of karma yoga, strictly following the discipline of worship in terms of meditation, combining both, this person becomes samskritaha. Samskritaha, he becomes viraktaha. Viraktaha means he is free from all the impurities. So karma enables a person to overcome the impurity in terms of negative tendencies. Upasanam enables a person to overcome impurity in the form of attachment, craving, longing. How? By having discriminative understanding and thereby discovering dispassion. Viveka is possible, vairagyam is possible only when a person overcomes negative tendencies. Okay, vairagyam comes means the person is this is he, this the Viveka must be there for Vairagyam to be there. Vairagyam is dispassion. Viragaha is a masculine gender word. Viraktihi is a feminine gender word. See, viraktihi dispassion. Viraktaha dispassionate. Vairagyam is also dispassion. All same words, okay? So, he puts the beautiful order. This is the Shastra order. When does a person become dispassionate? Only when he is free from impurity in the form of attachment, means dependence on the accomplishment of performance of actions and rituals and enjoyment of the results for his own happiness and security. It is attachment. The person becomes, he is no more dependent on anything else for his happiness and security. Then he becomes dispassionate. Now he is dependent only on jnanam. That's why he says viraktaha. So viraktaha bhavati. So yeshana lakshana vidyaya mrityoho atitirnaha viraktaha. Atitirnasya viraktasya. Once he becomes dispassionate, then what happens? I like the order Shankaracharya presents. Do you see the order? So beautiful. Viraktasya eva upanishat shastrartha lochana paraha bhavati. See, the dispassionate person, is the one who expresses his dispassion in what form? He becomes the person of commitment to the study of the Shastram, to the enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram, enquiry into the nature of the reality. Upanishat Shastrartha Lochana Paraha. Very nice. Who is a Viraktaha? Samskritaha is Viraktaha. Viraktaha is Shastrartha Alochana Paraha. Shastrartha Alochana Paraha. Upanishat Shastrartha Alochana Paraha. I want to know that sentence, that word, that particular word, very beautiful word. Upanishat Shastra Artha Alochana Paraha. Upanishat Shastra, Upanishad Shastra, Artha, Alochana Paraha. Upanishad Shastra, Artha, Alochana Paraha. Alochana means enquiry. Paraha, he becomes the person whose priority is always being involved in the enquiry into the meanings of the words of the Upanishad Shastram. Upanishad Shastrartha Alochana Paraha Bhavati. I really love the way he presents the order. So then you don't have to go and tell, come on, study Shastram. Like, parents have to go and tell children, study, do your homework, do, study. They feel bored, isn't it? So, in the same way, a person who is not refined enough, the person who is not dispassionate enough, who is not ready for Shastram, if you ask that person to come and sit in the Upanishad class, it's exactly like the same thing. Upanishad Shastrarthalochana Paraha Kada Bhavati. Yada viraktaha bhavati. When a person becomes dispassionate, he is distraction free minded. Now he knows that nothing is there. Okay? It's all waste of time. Going after things is a waste of time. The real sukham, nitya nirantara sukham is discoverable as nature of reality, as my own swarupam. So here, what I need is only jnanam. what I'm searching for really through all of them is not available there. It's only available only in this jnanam. Isn't it? This firm under, this understanding has to happen. This understanding is called what now? It's called spiritual knowledge. Understanding, the spiritual knowledge has to happen for one to become committed to this pursuit of Atmajnanam. Atmajnanam happens later on. Atmajnanam, otherwise it will be Brahmajnanam, is possible. Only person has first of all basic awareness. Spiritual knowledge means spiritual awareness. Isn't it? We must know that there is samsara. Otherwise, the samsara being there, there is a problem called samsara, must be understood first of all. Only then one can think of freeing oneself from bondage. You do not even know you are bound. How can you aspire for freedom from bondage? So naive, isn't it? So it takes some sharpness. That sharpness a person gets when he lives a clean life, karma yoga, governed by dharma, worshipfully. So beautiful. The development is, the order is very different. This is what, in traditional teaching, this is the order. Okay. In 1 week's time, 10 days' time, come here and sit and then I do these things. It's not possible. That's why there must be regular, continuous connection with Shastra. Evameva yeshana lakshana vidyayaha mrityoho atitirnasya viraktasya upanishad shastrartha lochana parasya. Okay, now he says, for such a person whose commitment, his total commitment is to the study of the Shastram, whose total commitment is only to the enquiry into the meanings of the subject matter of the Shastram, for such a person, vidya utpattihi bhavati, the rise of knowledge happens. The knowledge rises only for such a person. Isn't it? Ascertained, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality obtaining as one's own self happens. What is vidya utpattihi means what? The knowledge of I, the self, am that absolute reality. One will discover the truth of the entity of the cosmos as one's own essential nature, as one's own self. Very content of I. So this discovery of the truth of the universe as the truth of oneself, as the very substance of the substantive, I is said to be what now? Vidya utpattihi, ascertained vision of the self. Doubt-free vision is possible. He says what? Paramatma ekatva vidya utpattihi. What is that knowledge? Paramatma ekatva vidyotpattihi. Paramatma ekatva vidya utpattihi vidyotpattihi. Then utpattihi, there's a rise of the knowledge of the essential oneness. And the oneness of the reality. The knowledge of the oneness of the reality. Paramartha, absolute reality. Paramartha ekatva vidya utpattihi. Paramatma paramartha, both are correct. Paramatma ekatva vidya utpattihi. The rise of the oneness of the paramatma, the absolute self, the ultimate truth. And how? Nantariyaki. See, nantariyaki vidya utpattihi means obstacle-free, impediment-free knowledge rises. Dispassion is there, there'll be obstacle-free knowledge is possible. That's why in Tattva Bodha, in kindergarten class, always it is said, சாதன சதுஷ்டய சம்பத்தி விவேகா வைராக்கியம். You're happy, aren't you? Good. Vivekaha, she studied with Rukmaniji, so she knows. She's happy. Vivekaha, Vairagyam, Shamad Shatka Sampatthi, Mukshutvam. Why it is said so many times? It looks like kindergarten. It's punishing. First time when you're listening, in upper class it is emphasized. Only then, Paramatma Ekatva Vidya Utpatthi is possible. The attainment of the oneness of the reality, ascertained vision of the oneness of the reality is possible. Therefore, obstacle free, very nice word, Nantariyaki Vidya Utpatthi. Nantariyaki means what? Antariyaki means some sort of obstacles. Nantariyaki means obstacle free, obstruction free, impediment free, hurdle free, comfortably effort, then the knowledge rises. Not righteous means what? Vision becomes clear. The reality being one's own self becomes clear. Because reality is not something to be attained. It's already there as one's own self. The reality which remains as though veiled becomes revealed to the person. So, nantariyaki paramatma ekatta vidya utpattihi bhavati fara viraktaha. Viraktaha is samskritaha. How does he become samskritaha? When he follows, when there is sequential combination of karma upasanam first, then there is jnana yogaha. Now I'm moving on to the next page. See, it should not take very long like this, because completely different words are used in Ishavasya Upanishad. You know, Mrityuha means death, but it is used in sense of impurity. Vinashaha means destruction. Karma is meant by the word Vinashaha. Complete different words. And Upasanam and Karma together are meant by the word Avidya. All different words. Therefore, I have to tell you, it takes time. No, Shankaracharya says, he is he has to really drive home what exactly he wants us to understand. So he says, Purva Bhavini Avidya. Purva Bhavini Avidya means what? Karma and Upasanam. These two disciplines. Discipline of karma yoga and discipline of worship or meditation together, isn't it? The synthesis of karma and upasanam meant by the word ignorance. Okay. What now? Purva bhavini. This is the discipline which is followed first, which precedes. Purva bhavini means that which comes first. Paschad bhavini, what is the discipline which comes later on? Discipline of jnana, this is the attainment of knowledge. Doubt-free, clear, ascertained vision of the knowledge of the truth which happens by going through the discipline of jnana yoga which comes later. So, paschad bhavini vidya, purva bhavini avidya. You must know what vidya means, what avidya means, okay? Purva bhavini avidya, paschad bhavini vidya. So, paschad bhavini, the knowledge of Brahma vidya, knowledge of the absolute reality, ultimate truth, obtaining as one's own self, happens, isn't it? Is possible. As a result of going through discipline of jnana yoga, which happens, which follows, which comes later. Paschad bhavini. But pura bhavini is what? Avidya. Avidya in terms of karma upasana disciplines. Got it now? Purva bhavini, పూర్వభావినీం అవిద్యాం అపేక్ష పశ్చాద్భావిని బ్రహ్మవిద్య అమృతత్వ సాధన సాధనైకేన పురుషేణ సంబంధ్యమాన అవిద్య సముచ్యతే ఇత్యుచ్యతే. ఇన్ ది సెంటెన్స్ వాట్ హీ సేస్, హీ లైక్స్ దిస్. ఓకే, దర్ ఈస్ సీక్వెన్షియల్ కాంబినేషన్. సముచ్యతే మీన్స్ హియర్ సీక్వెన్షియలీ బ్రహ్మ విద్య ఈస్ కంబైన్డ్, సీక్వెన్షియలీ బ్రహ్మ విద్య ఈస్ కంబైన్డ్. ఓకే, వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్ పర్సన్, ఓకే, హూ ఇస్ ఆల్సో గివెన్ టు అదర్ టు డిసిప్లిన్స్. సో హి సేస్ బ్రహ్మ విద్య అమృతత్వ సాధనైకేన పురుషేణ. See, Brahma Vidya happens to be the only means of attainment of Amrutattvam, immortality. Brahma Vidya being the only means of attainment of moksha, Amrutattvam, immortality. Means what? Knowledge alone can remove ignorance. And the removal of ignorance is what? Removal of ignorance caused bondage. Ignorance caused mortality. Therefore, what is that a person needs for the removal of ignorance, attainment of immortality? Only jnanam. Knowledge alone is needed for the removal of immortality, removal of ignorance. And removal of ignorance itself is what? Removal of the mortality, which is attainment of immortality. Therefore, he says, బ్రహ్మ విద్య అమృతత్వ సాధనైకేన పురుషేణ సంబంధ్యమానా విద్య సముచ్యతే. సో దిస్ బ్రహ్మ విద్య ఇస్ కంబైన్డ్ సీక్వెన్షియలీ విత్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అదర్ టూ డిసిప్లిన్స్. ఇస్ ఇట్ క్లియర్ నౌ? సీ దిస్ ఎ కాంబినేషన్ ఆఫ్ sequential combination of ignorance and knowledge. What does it mean? Ignorance stands for karma upasanam, knowledge stands for brahma vidya. Got it? I didn't want to mention all these words. I could have simply just told everything in English and gone away, isn't it? I also want to see a little bit of taste. పూర్వభావినీం అవిద్యామపేక్ష్య పశ్చాద్భావిని బ్రహ్మ విద్య అమృతత్వ సాధనైకేన పురుషేణ సంబంధ్యమానా విద్య సముచ్యతే ఇత్యుచ్యతే. సో వాట్ హీ సేస్, ఇట్ ఈజ్ బ్రహ్మ విద్య పూర్వభావిని, ద డిసిప్లిన్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఫాలోడ్ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ కర్మడుపాసనం meant by the word avidya alone is not enough. When that discipline, the preceding disciplines of vidya in karma and upasanam, when they are also followed by the pursuit of jnanam, knowledge is attained, it is only because attainment of knowledge alone a person attains immortality. If you ignore the pursuit of knowledge, If people are given to this, religious disciplines, very nice, very important. One must be worshipful, prayerful, perform rituals, everything is fine. If you get stuck with that itself, if you do not make efforts for knowing the truth, then still you are bound. That is why it is condemned. Is it? So the means of the preparatory disciplines, being given to the practice of preparatory disciplines itself should not be mistaken to be the ultimate end. Oh, I am very religious, I am very worshipful, I am very prayerful, I go to temples, I do this, I do this, pujas, I do. This is enough. If one person gets stuck there, We should understand the purpose. What should they be followed for? I mean, one must have that burning urge for knowledge. The burning urge for knowledge happens only when a person becomes viraktaha, only when a person becomes samskritaha. And for that, these disciplines help. Crayons do help a child, isn't it, to get rid of some restlessness gradually, gradually. That's why you had to go through year after year after year after year after year after year after, throughout school education and college education. All is all for mental discipline. In Vedic tradition, education is only for mental preparation. See, any education is for having the, for getting rid of spiritual ignorance. Education helps a person get rid of spiritual ignorance. One must have the awareness, a spiritual knowledge. Then one can become committed to the pursuit of spiritual knowledge, in the self-knowledge. Isn't it? Okay. So therefore, then why should we condemn? He gives the reason. Ataha, therefore, anyatartha, anyarthatvat, anyarthatvam, this synthesis of karma and upasanam has a different purpose. Okay? Performing rituals, practicing meditation, combining them, serves a different purpose. Anyarthatvam. What a different purpose? Only mental preparedness in terms of discovering, having viveka, discovering vairagyam, thereby becoming viraktaha, samskritaha and viraktaha. One has to become samskritaha, one has to become viraktaha. One can become samskritaha and viraktaha by discovering this passion, by having viveka, by going to these disciplines. This is the purpose. Anyarthatvamasti. Atha anyarthatvat. It means what? It does not become, does not become a direct means of attainment of jnanam and moksha. Therefore, amritatva sadhanam brahma vidyam apekshya. When compared to brahma vidya, the only means of attainment of moksha, only means of attainment of immortality. Amritatva sadhanam brahma vidya. Amritatva sadhanam brahma vidya. This knowledge of the absolute reality is the only means of attainment of immortality, mokshaha. So from the standpoint, when compared to brahma vidya, which is the only means of attainment of immortality, then sambhuti apavadaha nindartameva bhavati. Nindart. So this sambhuti negation of Hiranyagarbha to the negation of upasanam is subject to get criticized. It is okay, it is criticizable. Why it is criticized? Why it is condemned? Only if it is taken as the ultimate means of accomplishing the ultimate goal. He says, yadyapi ashuddhi viyoga hetuhu. Ashuddhi viyoga hetuhu. What ashuddhi viyoga hetuhu? Synthesis of upasanam with the karma is a means of transcending impurity in terms of natural negative tendencies and passion, longing, craving, attachment. Atanishtatvat. So our what is desirable is not simply becoming dispassionate, not simply becoming refined. It's not simply becoming refined, simply becoming prepared alone is not the goal. The goal is attainment of immortality, isn't it? Attainment of immortality is what is desired ultimately, and for which we need only Brahma Jnanam. Therefore, Brahma Jnanam has to be followed. The aim of pursuit being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. One should not get stuck with only the Purva Bhavini, those two disciplines which come before. Ataha eva sambhutehe apavadat sambhutehe apekshikameva sattvamiti paramartha sadatmaikatvam apeksha amrutakhyah sambhavah pratishidhyate. So what he says, why it is condemned, he explains. Sometimes, okay, even if people are given to the discipline of upasana, meditation, and they also perform rituals, still what happens, it is promised in the Upanishad, the Shastram itself, one can earn punyam. As a result of that punyam, one can break open the solar disk, one can travel through the solar path, one can go to Brahmaloka, and one can have the status of being Hiranyagarbha, one can have apekshika amrutattvam. One can have, okay, relative freedom. Apekshika amrutattvam one can attain, they say. He says, that's not true. Even though it is said, when compared to the absolute immortality which is attainable, the attainment of jnanam, that is not real. That is not real. Apekshika mokshaha. Apekshikam amrutattvam. Relative freedom, which is promised as a result of upasanam, is not real freedom. That is not real freedom. Therefore, upasanam is condemned as inferior. And then, he says, you know, Hiranyagarbha himself, what is Hiranyagarbha? Hiranyagarbha is a status, temporary status. Okay? Is not real. Hiranyagarbha is not real. Not absolutely real, relatively real. So subtle manifestation is relatively real. So the creator status attributed to Ishvara, the reality, from the standpoint of subtle creation is not real. Relatively real, not absolutely real. There is no creator. Therefore, the creation is also not really there. It is as though. Creator status itself is not real. How can there be creation real? So creation also is not real. Why there is no creator, there is no creation? Because there is no cause. There is no karanam. So paramartha sad sadatmaikatvam apekshya. See, other than having the ascertained vision of the oneness of the absolute self reality as a means of attainment of moksha, anything else is condemned as being incapable of giving moksha. So upasanam cannot give absolute freedom. Because upasa devata is not real. Upasa devata is relatively real, not absolutely real. And the upasa devata status, Hiranyagarbha, is also relatively real, not absolutely real. Therefore, when Hiranyagarbha himself is relatively real, Devata, not absolutely real, sorry, temporary qualification, how can that worship of the relatively real Ishvara will give you permanent, absolutely real moksha? It cannot give. Okay? Therefore, what he says, when we compare upasanam with the jnanam, mere practice of upasanam really is criticizable, condemned, can be condemned. It is condemned only from the standpoint of the jnanam. When it is compared to jnanam, it is condemned as inferior, condemned as relatively real, not real. Really speaking, even what is promised in the Upanishads in terms of possibility of attaining Brahmaloka, attaining Apekshika Moksha, etc., it's all not real. Not absolutely real. What is absolutely real is only the reality implied by the term Atma. One has to discover what is absolutely real. The discovery of the absolutely real Atma alone is absolute knowledge. That alone will bless a person with absolute immortality, freedom. Is it clear? This is over. Now, evam maya nirmitasya eva jivasya avidyaya pratyupasthapitasya avidyanashe swabhava rupatvat paramarthatah. Just want to follow English, you can follow 434. I'm reading towards the end of the paragraph. So now finally, what still Shankara Bhagavatpada really has to really help us understand what exactly is what exactly is emphasized by Gaudapada Acharya in his Karika, isn't it? I have to understand. So he says, maya nirmitaha jivaha. What is jiva? Maya nirmitaha. Maya nirmitaha means what? Avidyaya pratyupasthapitaha. Jivaha is avidyaya pratyupasthapitaha. Means the jiva is nothing but a seeming appearance caused by ignorance. Jivaha, jivaha, where is jivaha? Jivaha is just a seeming appearance caused by, as though appearance caused by ignorance. So mayaya nirmitaha means avidyaya upasthapitaha, seemingly projected, caused by ignorance, is the jiva. Therefore, for such a person, avidyanashe, when ignorance becomes resolved, okay, when a person has this sequential combination of karma, upasanam, with discipline of jnana yoga, as a viraktaha, as a samskritaha, when he follows, when a person has clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the oneness of the reality obtaining as one's own self, then what happens? Avidyanashe swabhavarupatvam. Swabhavarupatvat means what? The person swabhavarupaha bhavati means what? He assumes his real nature. Assumption of real nature means what? He remains as himself. Being one's own self. Just remaining as one's own self. Being one's own self. Cognitively being objective towards one's own body, mind, and complex. Being one's own self is what, having claimed take ownership of fullness of happiness as one's own real nature. A person remains as oneself. A person remains as one's own self, claiming his own nature as, okay, nature of happiness, full, the immortality. When avidya nashe, when the goodness becomes resolved, then what happens? The jiva status attributed, jiva status superimposed upon oneself becomes resolved. Isn't it? The seemingly superimposed jiva status, because of ignorance, that becomes resolved. Isn't it? In the wake of knowledge of one's own self, the ignorance becomes resolved. Ignorance caused seeming division also resolves. Ignorance called seeming appearance goes, seeming appearance also goes, means in the wake of the knowledge, the jiva status superimposed upon oneself becomes resolved. I think I'm a jiva. In my thinking I'm jiva, how long? I'm an individual. As long as I'm ignorant. When ignorance goes, and then my identity is no more with the body, mansions, complex. My identity is with the Atma. Then I'm one indivisible, undivided, partless reality on the standpoint of the truth. Isn't it? Therefore, now that jiva, will he again be born as a jiva? Can he be? He gives a brutal example here. So, this question is asked. Actually, in the next paragraph now, the first line of the Karika, referring to Ishavasya Upanishad commentary, is over before. Now, in this Maya Nirmitasya, this is actually, this commentary on the second line of the Karika, referring to the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad statement. Brihad Upanishad. Is it the two statements? The first line refers to Ishavasya. That comment is a long commentary. Now his commentary on second line is very little. Because he combines that. So what is the second line? Kahanu enam janayet. Kahanu enam janayet. Who can create this jiva again? This jiva, whose identity is with Paramatma, he is Paramatma himself. And who can create him again as a jiva? Kahanu enam janayet. Paramarthataha, who can really create this jiva again? Avidyanashe swabhava rupatvate. As this person assumes his real nature, as Atma, okay, as all pervasive reality consciousness, this person, now, who can create the jiva again? Kahanu enam janayet. Rebirth of the jiva is not possible. Recreation of this jiva is also not possible. Who can create? He is Atma, Paramatma himself. He was always Paramatma. This jiva, there's no jiva. Always before Jnanam also he was Paramatma. After Jnanam also he is Paramatma. During Ajnanam also he is Paramatma. Only thing is, when he is ignorant, he mistakes himself to be a jiva. And we all mistake. We mistake, isn't it? The seeming appearance of jiva is mistaken to be a real appearance because of ignorance. The ignorance goes, the wrong notions resolve. There is no jiva. It's only Paramatma. Therefore, kahanu yenam janayet. Who else indeed can create that person again? Okay? Who can cause his birth again? And he gives example, beautiful example. Nahi rajvam avidyaropitam sarpam punaha vivekataha nashtam kaschit janayet. Beautiful example. There's no real snake is not there. There's only rope. Rajvam avidyaropitaha sarpaha. Avidyaya sarpaha aropitaha rajvam. The snake is superimposed upon the rope because of ignorance of what is this rope. Avidyaya sarpaha rajvam aropitaha. The rope is mistaken to be a snake. The rope is, because we don't know what is this rope is not known. Because of the ignorance of what is this rope, the snake is superimposed upon the rope. And what happens? Punaha vivekataha. Later on, because of this kind of understanding, oh, what is this rope? There is no snake at all. You discover. Through the knowledge of what, through knowledge. Because of the knowledge of what is his rope, later on, in the wake of knowledge of the rope, you have discriminative understanding. What is only rope, there is no snake. That understanding happens. After having that understanding, he says, Nashtam sarpam kaha kaschit na janayet. Ignorance caused snake. Okay, and the part of the rope. That after discovering there's no snake at all, who else can again create that non-existent snake? It was never there. Snake was not there before also. Now also it is not there. Only as long as ignorance of the rope was, rope being the rope was, so then there's appearance of a snake. There's only snake appearance. There's no real snake. And that seeming snake got resolved in the rope itself. In the wake of the knowledge of the rope being rope, again the snake cannot be created. Isn't it? After knowledge. Reproduction, recreation of the snake, the seemingly real snake, cannot happen. In the same way, the reproduction, recreation of the jiva also is not possible. Once the jiva status being mithya becomes very clear in the wake of knowledge of the atma. Very nice. Is it clear now? Yeah. At least we cannot be very clear now. There's no, first birth itself is not there. Why should we worry about second birth, rebirth? I'm going to tell you something later on, okay? See, there, in Upanishad, he talks about Ajnani Jiva also. But here, he talks about actually Jnani Jiva. Jnani Jiva cannot be born again. Of course, ignorant Jiva will be born again. No doubt, isn't it? Ignorant Jiva will be relatively born, and with all Sanchita Karma is there, loads of Sanchita Karma. Therefore, Parabdha will bring him again back. But a Jnani Jiva will not be born. Ajnani Jiva will be born relatively. There's no absolute birth of anything here. Jnani Jiva will not be born at all, cannot be born. His Jiva status is like the superimposed snake. It is because of ignorance. Therefore he says what? Very nice. Nahi rajvam avidyaropitam sarpam punaha vivekataha nashtam. It got removed through this understanding. Kaha kaschit na janayet. one cannot reproduce that snake again. Tatha, in the same way, nakaschiti yenam janayet. He explains now, nakaschiti yenam janayet. None can cause the birth of this jnani, wise person. Iti. For Upanishad statement is what? Ko kahano enam janayet. Kahanu iti akshepartatvat. Now this question, kahano enam janayet, is a real question. Who can create this person? It is not a question. It's akshepartha prashnaha. This question, person is an objection. He does not want the answer. Who can create this jiva? Bhagavan can create. You cannot say that. Answer is not expected from us. It's only emphatically said, there is no jiva. He is Paramatma. A jnani is Paramatma himself. Therefore, none can create him. Means what? It is not at all possible for a jnani to be born again. But nobody can cause the birth of such a jnani. He attains videha muktihi. He attains, he is jivan muktaha. He attains videha muktihi also. Iti, so what? Karanam pratishiddhyate. This is the point. Karanam pratishiddhyate, pratishiddhyate. What's the ultimate? Karanam pratishiddhyate means the cause is negated. Come on, where is the cause? The causal status attributed to Brahman is negated. All that is, there is only Paramatma, only Brahma. There is neither the cause nor the effect. What is, there is only one secondless non-dual reality, Brahma. There is no karanam, there is no karyam. Karanam pratishiddhyate, cause is negated here. This is the main aim. We're talking all these, you know, discussing all these different things. Finally, what he says is, he negates only the cause.
What is Kaimu? What are those words?
Where?
He says, so also no one will create by the words Kaimu.
Yeah, yeah. Now what he says, Kaha, who, nu, indeed, na, who, kaha nu, enam janayet. See that question, what he says, Shankara Bhagavatpada reproduces this question, no? He takes that interrogative pronoun from there and he puts it there. Kaha nu, this question kaha and nu, okay? Actually, it is not a real question. It's presented as an objection, implying none can create the jnani. Kahanu iti akshepartatvat. Kahanu iti, actually it is kon vityakshepartatvat. I break everything and read here. If I don't want to break it, it will be like difficult for you. Kahanu akshepartatvat. Kon vakshepartatvat. That kaha, interrogative who, interrogative pronoun. That nu, just make it akshepa, to make it an objection. Who can create this jiva? If I ask kaha janayet, who creates, who can create, who will create, isn't it? No, who can create this, that nu, you have to change the tone there. Who else can create this jiva? None can create. Means what? Why? Because, therefore what? There is no cause. This is the last one word is the aim of this Gaudapacharya's only aim is to negate the cause. My God. Only one word is the last teaching. What is that? Last word. Karanam pratishiddhyate. Therefore, cause is negated. Therefore, what? Brahman is not the cause. Atma is not the cause. Therefore, there is no creation. There is no effect. There is no creator. What is there is only Brahma. And I am the Brahman. When you say, I am Aham Brahmasmi, or everything that is here is only Brahma. Now he says one more thing. Avidya udbhutasya, avidyodbhutasya, nashtasya, janayitru karanam. Avidyodbhutasya nashtasya. Avidyodbhuta means what? This janayitru karanam. The cause. Okay? Janayitru. Avidya udbhutam. Avidyodbhutam means what? Here is the mithya, a mithya thing which is projected. A mithya thing which is projected by ignorance. It has been negated also. See, this creation, this the word creation is something which is caused by ignorance. And it has been negated also as mithya. Avidya udbhutam nasa nashtam. It has been negated also. Avidya udbhutasya nashtasya, this creation, which has been projected because of by ignorance and negated by knowledge also, that one. Janayitru karanam, there is no cause, there is no creator. There is no cause, there is no creator. Therefore, nakinchit asti, janayitru karanam nakinchit asti. Janayitru karanam nakinchit asti, there is no cause, there is no creator at all. Iti abhiprayaha, this is the intention of the Shastram. This is what is intended by Gaudapada Acharya, say Shankaracharya. Janayitru karanam kinchid nasti, there is no such thing called cause which is the creator. There is no cause which can create. Janayitru karanam kinchit nasti iti abhiprayaha. This is the intended, okay, teaching presented by Gaudapada Acharya through his Karika. Why? Because creation is projected by ignorance and now negated by knowledge. And in this context, he brings a beautiful quote from Kathopanishad in support of the fact revealed through the Karika and explained in the Bhashyam. Nayam kutas chinna babhuva kaschit. Na ayam kutas chit. Na babhuva kaschit. Na babhuva kaschit means none has been born from nowhere else. Ayam kutas chana. Na ayam kutas chana. Na babhuva kaschit. Means what? Kutaschana na ayam babhuva. Ayam kutaschana babhuva means this is not, this, the seeming creation has not come from anywhere. The seemingly existent jiva has not come from anywhere. The seemingly existent jagat also has not come from anywhere. And then, nakaschit babhuva. Nothing came also. It has not come from anywhere. Nothing came also. Nothing came. Therefore, there is no need for us to ask, where has it come from? If something has come, you can ask, where has it come from? Isn't it? Nothing has come. Kaschit na babhuva, none has come, nothing has come. Therefore, there's no need for us to ask the question, where has it come, where has this come, isn't it? Nothing has come from anywhere. which means there's no cause, there's no effect also. Nothing has come from anywhere means there's no cause. None has come means no effect. You see two sentences, Swamiji, there. Kutaschita ayam na babhuva. Therefore, kutaschita ayam na babhuva means nothing has come from anywhere, none has come from anywhere. That negates the cause. Nakaschit babhuva, none has come, that negates effect. So cause is negated, it's called apavada. Actually, this Gaudapacha's mention of the negation of Hiranyagarbha, condemnation of this upasanam, everything else is ultimately to show, what now? Ultimately for showing negation, for this, for negating the cause and effect. Negation of cause and effect is ultimately what he wants to understand. Therefore what? There's no cause, if there's no effect, what is there is only absolutely secondless, one secondless non-dual reality. Aham advayah advitiyah atma asmi brahma asmi. Aham advayam advitiyam advayam brahma aham asmi. That must be the final vision. This is tatparyam of the shastram. Okay. With this, the 25th karika is over. Any questions here?
Again, aham advaitam
advitiyam. Yeah, aham advitiyam advaitam or advayam brahma asmi. You say atma, I had to put visarga. Aham advitiyaha advayaha atma asmi. Advayam advitiyam brahma asmi. So, as though he is criticizing, even though in Shankar Bhagavad's commentary gives, tremendous understanding for us. Of course, he shows knowledge being the ultimate goal. Because knowledge alone can liberate. That makes very, very clear. And then because bondage is caused by ignorance. All is wrong, error in the perception has been corrected only by knowledge. Ignorance caused errors have to be resolved by knowledge only. Therefore, knowledge is the ultimate thing. At the same time, for that knowledge, definitely one has to be prepared. Therefore, this is Ashuddhi Viyoga Hetuhu. Now, what is that which really contributes for the removal of the impurity? The impurity means impurity is in the form of, you know, anything which disturbs the mind is the mental impurities, isn't it? For which karma and upasana have to be combined. Without upasanam, karma, however clean the karma is, it becomes an activity of an ethical person. When it is combined with the worship, it is religious. But with the purushartha nischaya, it becomes spiritual. A person becomes spiritual. That is why how they must be combined, samasamachaya is possible, samasamachaya must be done, then only together become much stronger, more powerful in handling one's mind. So it can contribute for one's mental preparation in terms of transcending the impurities in the form of negative tendencies. And also this, not easy, that easy to get rid of this attachment, get rid of this cravings and longings. It helps. That is, one can easily free oneself from cravings and longing and things only when a person has viveka. Viveka has, without viveka, how much ever we try, it is not at all possible to have, you know, to free oneself from passion, cravings. The desire will has to go naturally, isn't it? That a certain degree, only jnanam, absolute purity is possible. So relative purification is possible by this clean life. So he says negative tendencies and also this attachment, dependence, heavy emotional dependence upon everything in the world for our happiness and security. So that is attachment. And because of the dependence alone, there's like desire. I want this, I want this. Because there's dependence is there. Attachment is there. So that once you understand it is not the source of happiness and security, you will shift the dependence from all those things. The dependence placed in Bhagavan, in worship. Finally, it has shifted from Bhagavan also to one's own self, in jnanam. The self-dependence is possible, the freedom is possible only when in jnanam. One has to become a viraktaha, one has to become samskritaha. So becoming samskritaha, becoming viraktaha is possible when a person goes through these disciplines. That's all the disciplines can do. But one should not get stuck there itself. One should also combine that sequentially with other discipline of jnana yoga, which will culminate in the vision, attainment of the vision of oneness of reality, obtaining as one's own self, in the wake of which one without need not give up anything, everything, no, things fall in their place. Na ayam kutaschana kaschana kaschit na bhuva. Can you believe, Swamiji? I came to the class thinking I should cover 3 verses.
We prepare like this now.
Huh?
We prepare like this.
It's okay. Again, I love this Bhagavad Pada's word. Sometimes I feel so much how he prays. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti